Hey everyone, I'm Josh, and this is Beyond the Numbers, the podcast where we talk about real, sustainable church health. Now, we've tackled a bunch of different topics already, but today's topic that we're diving into is a really deep and personal one for me. I'm calling it the pain that shaped me. This episode is a real raw one, especially for me. I've kind of battled with what I want to share and what I don't want to share and how much do I want to glorify the pain. Because this isn't about chasing clout. I don't want this episode to come across as me seeking sympathy. I'm going to be talking about one of the deepest parts of my life. And with it, I don't want to glorify the pain. More than anything, I want you folks to realize what I have, and that is that no bit of pain, no circumstance that we've ever gone through, no tear that has been shed is ever wasted when we give them to God. So today we're going to ask the tough question. How do you lead in the midst of pain? How do you continue to push through ministry-wise when your story still aches from the suffering that you've been going through? So let's sit back, have a conversation as we go beyond the numbers. Within 24 hours of being born, my body was blistering all over. Not a rash, mind you. Actual second-degree burn blisters appearing all over my body. Intense pain as a little newborn infant. I was diagnosed with epidermolysis bullosa simplex. I realize that's a really, really big word, but we just call it EBS for short. It's a genetic skin disease that causes intense blistering all over my body. That can be caused from stress, from heat, from friction, or sometimes from anything at all. As a kid, I couldn't walk long distances. If I went on a school field trip, it meant that I was in a wheelchair. I learned how to wear a fake smile despite the pain that I was going through. I learned how to limp quietly and push through when everything in my body just wanted to shut down. It was a pain that I experienced as an infant, a toddler. It got worse as a kid and then into my teenage years. And it's one of those things that while you're going through the pain, you don't realize it. But looking back, I start to see how that pain shaped myself and the way that I view myself. There were times as I grew up that I struggled with this idea that, am I a mistake? I battled with this idea, like, how could God ever use me? I can't keep up with everyone else. I'm in constant pain. I'm constantly struggling with this. How can I ever be used? And growing up in a Christian home and around the church, one of the biggest battles that I struggled with internally was with all this pain, with all these blisters, with my body as beaten up and broken as it was, am I really made in God's image? It was a struggle that I went through and carried on for many, many years while going to church and still doing the motions, the pain and the hurt and the anger that rose up within me because of feeling like I was broken, like I was a mistake, just continued to eat away at me. So while on the outside, I looked like I was a good Christian, on the inside, I just battled with God on a constant basis. Until one day, one service, in an honest moment with God where I just cried out to him and I said, God, if you can use anything, can you use this? And he did. Let me tell you, pain is something that everyone can identify with. Pain goes beyond social classes. It goes beyond language barriers. It goes beyond age gaps and ranges. People know and understand pain no matter the level. Pain is universal. But with the pain and it being universal, one of the universal temptations for us is to let that pain define us. I want to talk to you about something that I've seen not only in myself, but in a lot of leaders as well. And that is when your wounds start to become your whole story. Where instead of seeing yourself as called, you see yourself as cursed. For me, the lie was, I'm the broken one. For you, maybe there's different lies that you have bought into about your identity and about yourself because of what you have gone through. Maybe you feel like you're too weak to be used for anything. Maybe you feel like you're too wounded. Or maybe you feel like you're so flawed. Is there any way that you can make a difference? Here's the thing. When you build your identity around your pain, you start leading from a place of protection instead of a place from purpose. You isolate, you fake it. You start spiritualizing the pain instead of actually surrendering that pain and the circumstances to God. And eventually, those lies and the doubt seep into you, and you start to believe that even for God, there is no way that he can bring good from this. So how can we actually find health when we're in the midst of pain? One of the scriptures that really became like a life verse or verses to me is from John 9. And in it, there's this amazing kind of interaction that Jesus has with his disciples in front of this man that was born blind. In fact, the disciples start off by talking about him within earshot of this man. And they're like, hey, Jesus, was it this man's fault or his parents' fault that he was born blind? It sounds like a really rude statement to make in front of this guy, but what they were talking about is a belief system that they had where if something bad happened, the only way to explain it away is to say that it was someone's fault, someone's sin. It was his parents' sin. Or if it wasn't his parents' sin, then it must have been this man's sin that he was born blind. Probably meaning they thought he sinned in the womb. I don't know. But this is the belief that they had. In fact, I don't think that belief has completely gone away. I know that there are some churches that try to explain away bad things by saying, well, if these bad things are happening to you, it must be something you did to tick off God. Now, I realize sometimes we dig our own holes, but for someone born with an affliction to say that, that's just not true. In fact, there are many of us that maybe we've actually internalized that. The pain, the suffering, the circumstances that we are going through, that we were born into or whatever, we start internalizing that and thinking, well, I must have done something wrong. Or we battle with, what did I do, God, to deserve this happening to me? And yet, Jesus didn't let their statements just kind of fall on deaf ears. Instead, he addressed it in the most amazing way. He said it wasn't their sins that this man was born this way. He was born this way so that the glory of God may be manifested in his life. In essence, this happened so that the works of God could be shown through this man. When I read that and understood that, it changed the way that I view my life and the circumstances that I go through in this life. I wasn't born as a mistake. Instead, I was born to be a miracle of God. And please hear me. If you have gone through struggles, if you have gone through pain, if you are in the midst of walking through it and you've believed any of those same lies that I believed, then hear me when I say, according to Jesus in John 9, you may be just like that man that was born blind. You might have been born in a way to show how great God is. Let me be clear. Healing doesn't always mean a miracle cure. Here I am, pushing well over 40, and I still blister. I still am in almost like constant pain, different levels, and I can manage it. And there are times after trips or whatever that I have some issues walking that I have to push through. But my pain doesn't define me anymore. And can I tell you what? That is a bigger and deeper healing than anything that could have happened on my skin surface. See, health isn't about being pain-free. It's about being whole. It's about letting God speak over your story instead of letting that pain and that suffering define your story. So what does health look like in the face of pain? It means letting God name you instead of letting the suffering name you. Remembering that you are first and foremost his child. I am not the blister kid. I am God's son whom he loves and he cares about. I'm not the pain, and that is not what defines me. I am God's. Health also looks like stopping the whole idea of pretending to be okay. That whole wearing the fake smile, pushing through a limp. We think it makes us tough, but more than anything, it closes us off from everyone else. It means to let other people in when we're struggling with stuff, when we're hurting. Health also looks like allowing our story to speak into others instead of isolating ourselves. Kind of like that man that was born blind, letting our pain and what we've gone through not be wasted, not closing ourselves off, but using it as a story to show how great God is. And with that, it means seeing the pain as a platform, not a prison. As I said, I learned a long time ago that pain is universal and it breaks almost every barrier. And so there have been people that you can pour into, that you can talk to, that you can share with, not because you look the same, you talk the same, or whatever, but because you both have experienced pain. But if we allow that to become a prison within our mind, within our heart, and just seep in the anger and everything like that, we will miss the opportunities that God is setting up to use the pain that we've been in and the suffering we've gone through for His glory. It's also to remember that just like that man in John 9, we are that same way too. Stop seeing ourselves as cursed or a mistake or an oops or we're just too fragile or too broken, but to realize that everything that we can do with our life is to bring glory to God, that God will use my life and everything that I've been through to draw others to Him. So what do we do with the pain? How can we take something that seems so bad and give it to God and find its redemptive purpose? And the first thing is this. You can name it. Call it out. What is it that you've been struggling with? What is it that you've been holding on to? Give it a name. Why? Because the more we internalize it, the more we hold it in, the more it still has a hold on us. But the minute we begin to name it, and then we can actually give it to God, not hold on to it anymore, but release it to Him. Start by being honest with Him. God, this is the pain that I've struggled with. These are the questions that I have. You don't know how many times we hold on to that anger or deep-seated questions, and it eats away at our faith because we've never actually vocalized it to God. Start by naming it. The second thing is don't rush the healing. It takes a process. I've worked with teenagers for a long time, and I remember there'd be sometimes that like parents would expect huge life-shaking situations that their teens have gone through to be over and done with and them have processed all those emotions within like 2 days. And that's just not the case. I know we are the ones that were sick one day and then we want to hop out of bed and do everything else the next day. And that's fine. But realize what you've been through, it takes time to process that healing and to allow God to do the work. Sometimes we try to rush Him too fast. You got to realize no matter what it is, there is going to be a process for that healing. In fact, even with my skin thing, just when I think I'm completely healed, there are moments and things that pop up that make me realize that healing is still ongoing. And if you're working with others that have been through pain, that have dealt with different circumstances that have just caused them suffering throughout their life, realize for them as well, don't rush the healing. You look at Jesus when He healed another blind man, and what did He do? He spat on the dirt and made mud and wiped it on the guy's eyes. And what happened the first time? The guy wiped it away, and Jesus says, "What did you see?" And he says, I see like shadows, maybe blurry images. They kind of look like trees and people." And then God continued the work. Even though it was a quick healing, that healing still happened over time. Your healing will take time. Don't rush the process. Another thing that we can mistakenly do is hijack other people's pain. It can be very easy for someone sharing their pain and hurt and circumstances for me to identify and then start on my own story when that's not what they need. Not only that, but then begin to make the whole thing about the pain that I have experienced. believe me, there are some times where people want to come up to me with, like, you know, a stub toe type thing. And I'm like, listen, I've been through pain. It can be really easy for us to hijack their pain stories, their pain moments, their things that they need us to hear, and instead make it about what we've been through or how ours trumps theirs, or make the story all revolve around what we've been through. And we have to be careful not to do that. Sometimes it means just sitting and listening. Not comparing what we've been through to what they've been through, but being a resounding board that they can just speak to and we listen. Another action step that we can do is we can make sure that as leaders, we're leading and preaching through the scars and not the wounds. What I mean by that is there are some of us that we haven't started that healing process. And so it's almost like we're in the middle of the street and our soul is bleeding out. Oftentimes, that's when you see some people that their messages, their teachings, their groups that they're leading, it's led more out of anger or upsetness or focused on one specific topic because that is the wound that they are currently struggling with. And they've yet to name it. They've yet to start the healing process. And so because of that, everything that they do revolves around that wound. We have to make sure that we are allowing that healing process to happen. And even if that means to a degree being careful on what we're preaching about, what we're talking about, or allowing that healing to start more before we hit the stage again, before we start pouring into others' lives, allowing that healing to take place within us so that what we're saying and how we're leading is not from the wounds itself, but instead from the healing that has happened within us, from the scars that have been left, that we can show and point to God and say, how great is my God? It means surrendering that pain and that story before we continue to allow it to bleed out and leading from that. And the last thing, kind of summing all of this up, you name it, you walk through that healing process, which can take time. You make sure it doesn't hijack others' people's process, and you make sure that you're not leading from that wound. And the final thing is allowing God to redeem that pain and that hurt that you've been through. See, a lot of times we view our pain as the climax of our story, the big part, the thing that everything centers around. But when you allow God to redeem it, your pain isn't the climax of the story. Your pain is the beginning of the story of how great God is and what he can do and the transformation that he can bring to others through our hurt, through our tears, through our pain. It's an older object lesson that I used with my students from time to time, and it's becoming dated. But back in the day, arcades used to have those tickets. You'd play a game, you'd get tickets, and at the end, you could turn in your tickets at the prize booth and get something better. Now, the thing is that on their own, those tickets are just pieces of paper with a little coloring on it. You couldn't take it to the store and actually buy groceries with it. You can't go to a car dealership and say, hey, I have 4 billion tickets. What car can I get? On its own, it's a scrap of paper that's worth nothing. But when you're at the arcade, you can take it up to the prize window and redeem that nothing for something better. And in the same way, it's so important to realize our pain, our hurt, and everything like that, without ever surrendering it to God, without ever giving it to him, there's not a whole lot that it can be redeemed for. But when we choose to give it to God, he redeems that pain into ways that can pour and change others' lives. And can I tell you what? Nothing is better than seeing people be transformed and changed through God redeeming my story. Through God redeeming my pain, but you have to choose to actively surrender it to him, give it to him, and allow him to redeem it. See, the truth is that we can find healing, and more importantly, we can see these things that we have been through be used for God's glory and to change and transform other people's lives. I've seen how God can redeem those things and how God can use it, whether it's been on the mission trip field in the moments where I felt like I couldn't walk anymore, and yet God used my story to help change, transform others' lives. God's used it in conversations with students when they felt so broken and falling apart. They felt like they were a mistake. And I could talk about how God takes those things that we feel are mistakes and those things of brokenness and not only pieces it back together, but uses it to change and transform others' lives. When they've been able to say, I'm just too messed up for God to ever use. And I can share with them, I get it, but you're not. Healing is there, but as I said, it's a process. And for me, part of that healing process, it came back around in a way that I didn't expect. See, not too long ago, my youngest daughter was born and inherited my skin disorder. And suddenly everything that I thought healed was rising back up within me. I felt like I broke her, like it was my fault. How could I do this to my girl? And I started going over in my head all the pain that she would have to go through and the looks of people not wanting to sit with her and having to constantly contain the emotions that she was feeling, having to always explain why you have these different things that are going on, why you limp and why you're in excruciating pain when no one can see or feel or understand that. And I battled with it and I started pouring out to God. All this stuff I thought healed. Right back there. But then in the midst of that, God spoke in and reminded me that yes, she has this. Yes, she will face things that not everyone knows, but she will also experience his strength in ways no one else can understand. He also reminded me that I can stand alongside of her and remind her when she struggles with her identity or what these things are and why she was born with it. I can use my story and speak into her life and share with her how God is her creator and that he is the one that defines her, not these blisters. I can share with her who she is because I discovered who I am in God. Whatever your pain is, God can redeem it. And he can use it for things greater than you could have ever imagined. But it takes time. It's a process. And we have to choose to heal and surrender it to God. But realize that he's not done with your story. I want to close today by reading a verse that is, again, another life verse for me. But it comes from 2 Corinthians 12. And it's when Paul was dealing with his own issues, his own thorn. And this is what he said in verse 8. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work within me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in insults and in hardship and persecution and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The pain that you are going through, that you've been through, and that you may one day experience will shape you. But it doesn't have to define you. When we surrender it to Jesus, he doesn't just heal it. See, the amazing thing is it goes beyond healing and he actually uses it to save, to redeem, to pour out into others' lives so that we can see transformation happen within them. I really appreciate you guys letting me share my story. I realize it's just kind of a zoomed out view and very kind of vague to a degree of everything that I've been through. And there's lots more stories and lots more experiences, but I don't want to glorify the pain. I want to show how great our God is. So thank you for being able to listen and letting me share all that I've been through and that all that I've experienced, but most importantly, all of God's redemptive power. I pray that after listening to this, if you've experienced anything like that within your life, that it gives you permission to start that healing process. And more importantly, it gives you permission to give it to God and find that what he redeems it for is so much better than what we went through. That every tear and every hurt is never wasted when we give it to God. Next week, we're gonna jump into another couple of interviews with some really special people. that have experienced that same type of story, that the circumstances may look different, but they've walked through a level of suffering, of hurt, of illnesses and of trauma, and more than anything, they've given it to God and not only found his healing power, but more than that, they found his redemptive work. So we're going to talk and hear how great God was in their lives and how their hurt and pain was redeemed for something even better. It's going to be an episode that I really don't want you guys to miss. Until then, I want to challenge you, don't hide your story. Let God redeem it for something even better. And as he redeems it, and as you find that healing, and as you use it to pour into and change and transform others' lives, let's use our stories together as we work to go beyond the numbers. Thanks. Without anyone ever saying, maybe for you, the lies that you believe in, but another thing